I was a grind. That was the word for it back in the day. The kid who sweated the details, who made flashcards. A striver, a grade hog, a worker bee. That kid. And I can see him clearly now, almost 40 years later, bent over a textbook, squinting in the glow of a cheap desk lamp. I can see him early in the morning, too, up and studying at 5 o'clock, sophomore year high school, his stomach on low boil because he can't quite master... what? The quadratic formula? The terms of the Louisiana Purchase? The lend-lease policy? The mean value theorem? Eliot's use of irony as a metaphor for... some damn thing? Never mind. It's long gone, the entire curriculum. All that remains is the dread. Time's running out, there's too much to learn, and some of it is probably beyond reach. But there's something else in there, too. A lower frequency signal that takes a while to pick up, like a dripping faucet in a downstairs bathroom. Doubt. The nagging sense of having strayed off the trail when the gifted students were arriving at the lodge without breaking a sweat. Like so many others, I grew up believing that learning was all self-discipline, a hard, lonely climb up the sheer rock face of knowledge to where the smart people lived. I was driven more by a fear of falling than by anything like curiosity or wonder. That fear made for an odd species of student. To my siblings, I was Mr. Perfect, the serious older brother who got mostly A's. To my classmates, I was the invisible man, too unsure of my grasp of the material to speak up. I don't blame my young self, my parents, or my teachers for this split personality. How could I? The only strategy any of us knew for deepening learning, drive yourself like a sled dog, works to some extent. Effort is the single most important factor in academic success. Yet that was the strategy I was already using. I needed something more, something different, and I felt it had to exist. The first hint that it did for me came in the form of other students, those two or three kids in algebra or history who had, what was it, a cool head, an ability to do their best without that hunted animal look? It was as if they'd been told it was okay not to understand everything right away, that it would come in time, that their doubt was itself a valuable instrument. But the real conversion experience for me came later when applying for college. College was the mission all along, of course. And it failed. I failed. I sent out a dozen applications and got shut down. All those years laboring before the mast, and in the end, I had nothing to show for it but a handful of thin envelopes and one spot on a waiting list to a college I attended for a year before dropping out. What went wrong? I had no idea. I aimed too high. I wasn't perfect enough. I choked on the SATs. No matter. I was too busy feeling rejected to think about it. No, worse than rejected. I felt like a chump, like I'd been scammed by some bogus self-improvement cult, paid dues to a guru who split with the money. So after dropping out, I made an attitude adjustment. I loosened my grip. I stopped sprinting. Broadened the margins, to paraphrase Thoreau. It wasn't so much a grand strategy. I was a teenager, I couldn't see more than 3 feet in front of my face, as a simple instinct to pick my head up and look around. I begged my way into the University of Colorado, sending an application along with a pleading letter. It was a simpler time then. It's a state school, and I was accepted without much back and forth. In Boulder, I began to live more for the day. Hiked a lot, skied a little, consumed too much of everything. I slept in when I could, napped at all hours, and studied here and there, mixing in large doses of mostly legal activities for which large colleges are justifiably known. I'm not saying that I majored in gin and tonics. I never let go of my studies, just allowed them to become part of my life rather than its central purpose. And somewhere in that tangle of good living and bad, I became a student. Not just any student either, but one who wore the burden lightly in math and physics, and was willing to risk failure in some very difficult courses. The change wasn't sudden or dramatic. No bells rang out, no angels sang. It happened by degrees, like these things do. For years afterward, I thought about college like I suspect many people do. I'd performed pretty well despite my scattered existence, my bad habits. I never stopped to ask whether those habits were, in fact, bad.